Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 286. This is an interesting one because myself, Kevin, and I am with Chris. How you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Kevin?
I can't argue except for either the back spasms and or pinched nerve that I have that occasionally makes me twitch. That's been rather uncomfortable.
That does not sound too good.
Yeah. So whichever that one is, that part of the week hasn't been fun, but it has been kind of a busy week. Unfortunately, I've like half started a lot of stuff. Ken and I recorded a show last night, and I couldn't get it to upload yet. So I'm hoping, just because the immediacy of this show, we can that this one will upload proper. Like, I think he might have screwed it up when he started. He turned on Netflix during the mixdown of the show, so I'm gonna keep it clean tonight and hope that we can upload this immediately, since we're coming to you directly after SmackDown.
Yeah, well, better late than never, and actually with some little bit more stuff to talk about than usual.
Well, and we had also talked about reviewing a little bit of NXT. Because I did cut the time out last night to watch NXT when I got home finally, and I kind of rewatched it again today. I kind of more listened to it than watched it, because I did miss the opening match of NXT. Which I did not miss a whole lot, missing Emma and, what was her name?
Carmella.
Oh, yeah, because she was with the Hype Dog and the 7-Foot Dog. I don't remember what their names, was it Enzo?
Enzo and Big Cass.
Big Cass, okay. Enzo certainly has a look about him.
Oh, certainly has a look. I didn't get any of it at first, but they have grown on me quite a bit. I see quite a bit in the act, and obviously it's over like crazy down at Full Sail University.
That was one thing that struck me about a lot of things. There was a lot of cheering and a lot of positivity.
It's amazing. Where else do you find that in wrestling today?
Well, it's kind of funny, in some ways, because I think that, mentally, because it's a developmental territory, maybe you cut them a little more slack than on the main roster. I always liked that about when I was watching Pro Wrestling Ohio all the time, or Prime Wrestling later. You know, I enjoyed the development of it. Like, I understood that it wasn't maybe the greatest quality that you could get. But you know, it's kind of cool seeing the potential there for them to work on.
Right. Yeah, and I also said that NXT has probably accomplished over the last year or two what TNA never did in a decade of, you know, playing a studio in Orlando, and that's that it had home team feel. Those people love that show. They are proud of that show. That is their show.
Yeah. And I guess it was kind of funny to have, like, more realistic Guidos on the show. I believe that's what they're going for now.
Yes, I think so. I think this is... this is, I don't know if Guido's, I don't know if Staten Island or Guido's, but I'm not really sure what they do out on Staten Island.
Okie dokie. Well, that's the way I read at least her and Enzo's attitude. yeah, I don't know. There are some interesting characters, and I do. I kind of like Emma, so I. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess she's better down there than on the main roster. Like, they haven't been able to. The character is just kind of goofy.
Yeah,
especially with her. It seems like she has good in-ring skills, like the times that I've seen her.
Yeah, she does, and I think the gimmick overwhelms that, and it does seem like that she is going to possibly put the dancing away for good and kind of recreate herself down in NXT.
Yeah, I think that would be for her benefit. So yeah, I did miss that match last night. I don't think we need to dwell on that one for too long.
No.
And I did think, I couldn't quite tell when I flipped on the network last night, I started seeing whatever, I think it was the first commercial for, NXT, Rival. And I guess that was the other thing that hit me. I didn't realize that they took commercial breaks.
Well, yeah, it's the commercial breaks that are for the international television edition. They have to put those in there.
Okay, I gotcha. I was not expecting those, so that I must not have paid attention to this little fact.
Right.
I'm trying to think what the following match was after that.
The next match was Adrian Neville and Baron Corbin.
Yeah, in that match, I haven't seen that much of Neville. And I was just kind of, and maybe I can just go with an overall theme here too, is that I was surprised at the size of a lot of guys. If Triple H is the one handpicking these guys, in general, they were all smaller. I mean, I know the 7-foot guy was pretty big, obviously. But I felt like the vast majority, because even the bigger man in this match, what was it, Butch Cassidy again? I should have pulled this up.
Baron Corbin.
What? You act like we're always prepared around here. Why are you shocked that I'm not prepared? Yeah, because I didn't think even Baron Corbin was all that big. To be completely honest with you.
No, I don't think he is that big.
Right. So, you know, that was just kind of interesting to me that a large part of him. And obviously, if Neville's been champion, I would imagine. Do you feel like they have designs to bring him up sometime in the near future?
I think I could definitely see him up sometime, or probably not before WrestleMania, but you know, in the time after, I could see him being brought up. He's done everything he could do in NXT, so I definitely see him coming up. I don't know what the potential is, because you know he's a great flyer, but you know he's kind of lacking on interviews, which is what surprised the hell out of me that they actually put him on commentary. But I guess if we actually let him try, he's never actually going to get better. So that makes sense. He's maybe you could are you? I mean, not necessarily the best looking guy either. So it's like I don't know what WWE creative will have for him or not have for him when he comes up.
Oh man, I'm scrolling through the roster now on the WWE's NXT page, and I forgot how awful their stills are for everyone.
one day we gotta get everyone on here and just go through all the stills and just make up stories about what's going on.
Oh yeah, that could be a really long.
All alphabetical, so you end up with the most random people standing next to each other. So great.
That yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe the look of Simon Gotch. I'm not completely sure who thought this look was good. And if he didn't fight against this, well, he's going to get canned sooner rather than later.
Well, it's the gimmick. It's straight out of 1920s vaudeville. What do you want?
Oh, something else.
It was Roaring 20s.
The Roaring 20s are back in. okie dokie. Well, back to the persons at hand, though. The other guy seemed like Baron Corbin seemed like he had a little thing set up with a bull something or a bull, yeah. Dempsey.
Bull Dempsey.
Now, did Dempsey beat or lose to him the previous week?
Yeah. Dempsey and Corbin have been having a feud. They've had two matches that Corbin has won fairly quickly, but Dempsey just keeps coming back and coming back for more.
Okay. So he can't let it rest.
Right.
Gotcha. I don't know. Do you think either of them has all that much potential?
Oh.
Are they both a little too early? Like, that was the other thing, is that I don't know how... You've been watching for a while, so I don't know how long these guys have been on and how long they haven't been on.
Dempsey and Corbin have both... Dempsey's been around longer than Corbin, but... Dempsey might be my least favorite person in NXT. He has not grown on me at all. Ugh. You know, in wrestling, you can be 400 pounds and fat and be a freak show, you know, draw, attraction. But if you're 300 pounds and that guy, you just look ugly in a singlet. I'm sorry.
He kind of, when I saw his picture, because you didn't really see him that well in that shot, you mostly saw a face shot when he came out. He kind of, has the body shape of a larger Taz. And,
I never thought of it that way, but okay, we'll go with it.
And obviously he's not as talented as, well, I don't know. I guess I thought Taz was okay for at least a minute.
Yeah, he was. He was. Yeah.
I think the gimmick got old and, it just kind of got to be a joke at some juncture, but, at least for a couple of years there, he hung in there.
Indeed he did. Since I could get back on this track here, Corbin could be something, but he's a guy who needs to be down there. He needs to be down there for quite a while longer. No, he could probably use another year down there.
Gotcha. And then it was another women's match then after this one. I mean, I figure we're just going to kind of blow through things so we can cover most of everything. Mm-hmm. Because that was Bayley and Becky Lynch. And it's bad when the only thing I could think of when I saw Becky Lynch, or when I heard Becky Lynch was Claire Lynch.
Let's not go back there. No.
Come on, you already mentioned Orlando.
Yeah, that's true.
But honestly, that's she is quite a bit different than Claire Lynch in many a ways, including the fact that she is a bit of a hoss.
Yeah, a bit of a, yes. If you want to describe a woman as the hoss, you can go right ahead and do that.
Well, she's kind of, you know, I mean, she looks like she really puts in some time at the gym. A lot of the ladies look, well, even Natalya kind of toned it down a little bit.
Right, yeah. Lately, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I think it's a fair assessment. Bayley, both of them, they also seem like they had some stories going on that were.
The first episode you decided to watch is about 3 months into into this women's title. So
yeah, it's not really a good time to join the fray.
Anytime, it's because they do a good job of explaining things. If you typically before a big special, they'll have an hour long show that they'll put up, like probably sometime Tuesday, that Renee Young will host, and so it'll go through all the major angles. Next week's big show, so you can keep on the lookout for that before you watch the main show.
They did a pretty decent job of filling that information in, but you know, at least in general, you know. But it did help with Sasha Banks coming down at the end of this match, and Charlotte showing up at the very end there. And I would have to say they also may be valuing, and this isn't supposed to be that much of an insult, it might seem to me that they're valuing wrestling talent in the NXT Divas more than looks first, in my humble opinion.
They definitely are. The women are very talented. They get the time to tell, to have feuds, to have real feuds, tell stories. The matches on the big shows get 15-20 minutes. The women's championship match has been the semi main event on every NXT, you know, major show since they've been doing these things on the network. So yeah, and the last time was Charlotte and Sasha Banks one-on-one. That match is fantastic. If you want to go back and watch the NXT, you know, TakeOver Our Evolution show, that match is really one of the better women's matches you'll see almost anywhere.
Gotcha.
This four-way should be very good. I mean, as long as it, you know, they don't get in each other's way. I mean, I think this booked well. I'm sure it'll be a good to great match as everything else has been.
Because this is
the NXT women when they're given the time.
Am I correct that it's an elimination match?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to look at the graphic, but doesn't I don't believe so. I believe it's a one fall.
Oh, okay. Do you think that there's that Charlotte's going to retain, or do you think that one of these other divas they feel like it's their time to step up and have the belt?
This storyline between these four women has been going on for several months now. You know, if Charlotte wins this match, she's defeated all three of her top contenders, and you know, she's been dumb, but I don't know what would be left for her. And I obviously they're very high on her. She could be the next great women's superstar. So I could see them wanting her up, either maybe before WrestleMania, maybe more likely after. But I could see this being the beginning of the end for her in NXT and her losing the title.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would be fine by me. I just on SmackDown here, I enjoyed the Paige versus Alicia Fox match. I know that there have been a lot of them.
I thought they had a pretty good match. I mean, Paige is good. Alicia Fox is athletic. At least sometimes not always hitting her mark, especially she goes for that axe kick. Sometimes she's all over the place with that thing, but, you know.
Right.
She's got something. So,
right.
I definitely think that the WWE, you know, the main roster women are inspired and motivated in some way by the NXT women, and they, you know, it's not like they don't want more time. It's not like they don't want actual good stories.
Yeah, it just they've got to, you know, as much as they say you need to try and influence it, like, I still feel like they're kind of you know, pushed down the ladder in priority for writing, so that means less creativity and less time to work on that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's the buffer match on plus pay per views. Which would be a shame for the women on NXT to go from getting everything they get there to getting so little in WWE, and I can't imagine. I mean, the money can't be that much greater when you have no focus, when they don't focus on you so that your merch sells or so that you have higher spots on cards.
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting to see. If it'd just be better, because you're not also, well, now that they're going on the road, they might have to pay for travel expenses. But if they still limit their road expenses, that's something for the positive, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. And I hope that they realize what they have in Charlotte, and, you know, they'll play up, you know, her being Ric Flair's daughter to the belt. I mean, they're crazy if they don't.
I mean, Natalya can still wrestle somewhat and can be a useful stepping stone, even though she was already a stepping stone on NXT. Because I did see that match at some juncture.
Yeah. That match was fantastic, and skipping ahead to SmackDown, I am so glad to see Natty going heel. Oh, she is such a natural heel. I've said that so many times. It's like, she is not the nice girl. She's the girl who will tell you she's nice, and she does nice things for her own to make herself feel good. So at least now she can play that on TV.
Well, that's why I thought the whole... I'm like, why is this setup happening? Like, because I thought that Natty had already started acting heel for the last couple of times I've seen her on camera with Tyson and Cesaro. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of a weird setup. And then after I saw what went down, I'm like, oh, okay. they're just, like, making it official now.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Yeah. She was, hateable.
Yeah, she's very hateable, and I don't know where a breakup angle between her and Tyson Kidd could possibly actually go. So, it's for the best for everyone.
Yes, it is. And then we don't have that weird, weird part of the divas like each other, but the tag teams don't. We can just all hate each other. We can have six person tag matches. We can have one-on-one matches. We can fill all kinds of TV time.
Oh, yeah. This is gonna be the new Usos versus Miz and Mizdow, but with probably much better matches.
Because Mizdow didn't really get used, so his wrestling skills were pretty limited in those affairs. And
I could definitely see, you know, various combinations of, well, these six, if you count the women, you know, every week for a few weeks and whatever they're going to do with WrestleMania for the tag team championships, if anything. Okay, let's see. Let's get get back to NXT now.
Yeah. You jumped the gun. Because really the only other thing that we had left there for NXT was Finn Balor against Hideo Itami. So they definitely made their former tag team status quite evident in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean they're still friends. I'm sure they'll probably still team on occasion, but it's pretty obvious they've got pegged for the fast track to stardom and maybe a main roster spot, quicker than most who go through NXT first, because obviously he came ready made for TV. They put him through NXT just because they want to put everyone through there and prove that no one is too good for the NXT system. But he's definitely going to be fast track.
Do you think just Balor or both of them?
That's a tough one because they want everyone to work the same style, and I think that they probably want Tommy more seasoned in their style first before they would bring him up.
Gotcha. I mean, he did lose the match, so you've always got to think that the winners of the match have a better shot at making it up to the roster, especially when it's it was a tournament for the number one contendership for the NXT title. Balor now ends up taking on Adrian Neville next week.
That should probably be an excellent match on what's definitely looking to be an excellent show. And the show closed with really one of the best video packages anything associated with WWE has done in a while. If you had no clue about Kane and Owens or even Generico and Steen, you know their story now. I mean, they didn't get the details of their Ring of Honor feud or anything, but
right.
It's just an excellent video package that set the stage perfectly.
I guess I knew enough of the ROH background that I didn't feel like I needed any of the NXT stuff. Because, it has been a pretty limited time that Owens has been there, correct? Because it's only been, has it been a couple of months that he's been actually on NXT?
Yeah, that's what he said in his promo, that the date of this NXT special is going to be exactly 2 months from since the last special where he did debut and, basically a squash match and then later in the night, you know, turned on Sami Zayn, and I did love the part about him saying that I was happy for him. Still happy for him. that was a brilliant, you know, little... I don't know if I've ever heard a heel really say that before. And with such conviction, actually.
Yeah, that was certainly a nice touch.
So I
expect a pretty good match. I don't know. I was still a little suspect of Steen there. Maybe he had run out of interest in Ring of Honor by the time I started watching that. Because I was... I guess I didn't quite understand the Mr. Wrestling persona.
I don't think he really used that as very much as things got going later. And
well, you know, he Cornette didn't.
Well, Cornette started looking at like Stone Cold, essentially.
Yeah, and it failed miserably. Because I unfortunately had to have talks to Dusty about the failings of one James E. Cornette, which is not a that is not a conversation that you look forward to.
That must have been like watching his dad lose a fight to another kid's dad.
anyway. I did like, both of these, Balor and, Atami in that, main match. I didn't quite get the descriptions of, Finn Balor about the, unique entrance because I didn't think that it was all that, like, even Bray Wyatt scary. Creepy or anything like that? Or does he do a different entrance every week?
He does a different entrance on the main shows. With go back and watch the last one or watch this next one. I'm pretty sure he'll go all out with the big entrance. That
okay.
I mean, it's very spectacular, especially when you consider what the budget for NXT is versus say an Undertaker entrance on a big show.
Gotcha. So does he just carries like the new entrance through until like the next big show then essentially?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the way it's being, you know, promoted and really acted as something special.
Okay, yeah, because they certainly did make several statements about that. I guess I don't really know his history. I know that Triple H mentioned him in the interview. So I'm not really familiar with either of these guys' former work.
Right. Yeah. They had a good match against each other, which I'm not sure how many times they've ever actually wrestled at all. Because Balor was a New Japan guy, and Itami was, you know, Kenta and Noah. So I don't know how many times their paths ever crossed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew that both were from Japan, but I, like I said, I'm pretty ignorant on their history, so I'm not going to try to get into that. I just saw a really excellent match, really, that went about a good 15 minutes.
The main event of NXT typically does, we'll get about 15 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes. On the big shows, the main event, we'll get a, you know, WWE pay-per-view main event length of time, about, you know, 25 to 30.
Gotcha. That's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to try to make that more of a priority going forward. I may end up skipping it from time to time, but it was a really enjoyable show. It goes by pretty quickly because it is only an hour.
Yeah. I mean, in hour-long shows building up to two-hour live specials every 2 or 3 months, it's so simple, yet it seems so difficult to even think about that this is the way they used to do it, and it still can work.
Well, and I guess that was the other general thing, is that it was all about the fighting and who had won and who lost. Like, as dumb as that sounds, you know, it sounded like they made a big deal out of Neville having a bad 2015 so far, and even how, what's his name, Bull Dempsey had already lost the two, hold on, am I getting those guys mixed up?
No,
okay,
right.
Yeah, he lost two to Butch Cassidy. So, I mean, it was more about the wins and losses than it was about, you know, some other weird, like, well, a fight at a restaurant, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely, as Wade Keller would say over and over again, it's about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Well, the Melby Award winner is sure glad that you invoked his name on this episode, so that I can be grateful that I started to bear this weird stunt granny cross of covering professional wrestling for, well, more time than I expected, to be completely honest with you.
Congratulations, you deserve it.
We did bring up some SmackDown already, and we do have a good 20 plus minutes to cover it. The amusing.
Well, we haven't even talked about any of the big news. This is the first time we're doing a late show this week. We didn't even talk about Raw.
Well, I don't feel like that's needed to be talked about, unless there's something specific that that you want to bring to the table. It sounds like there is.
We could probably talk about Raw, the major happenings in WWE this week, and on cross both shows, and kind of, you know, general terms. I don't think we need to recap. We didn't even recap both shows.
Okie dokie. Well, come on, hit me, man. Stop jibber jabbering. Hey, what was your main topic? What did you think of first?
The main topic of the week is the WWE champion title situation going into WrestleMania, and the now new number one contenders match at Fastlane between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that is a good first topic. And I have got to admit, I really, really like the way Reigns is taking a little bit of control of the situation at hand. And stop, as I stated in my Almost Live and definitely half-assed blog, stopped acting like an emo chick.
Yeah, and Reigns is definitely, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do right now. They probably very likely will play out the next 2 weeks and see what happens. I mean, I think over the next 2 weeks, they're doing a lot of shows in, you know, the South, you know, Middle America, the Midwest, obviously your hometown of Columbus. The pay-per-view is going to be in Memphis, Tennessee, so it's like, these aren't, not saying, it compliment, you know, not cities that are smart mark, you know, bastions of, you know, the internet wrestling community, so.
Right.
These are places where it's not like Reigns is going to be booed in the building. Now, granted, if he's facing Bryan, maybe anyone will be booed, so maybe that's not the best, because I'm talking to myself and twitching my tongue thinking about all this, because they may have even jumped the gun on if there's going to be a change to, you know, Brian, which, although I wouldn't mind that at all. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Brian versus Lesnar at WrestleMania. But I don't think that over the next couple of weeks, since they're not going back to the Northeast, at least until, I think until March, I don't think that they're going to have many problems with Reigns being booed.
They certainly didn't. I didn't feel like they had that much of a problem either show this week.
I think
I'm still not sure how much they alter the ones on SmackDown, but it's I think he might be a little below Bryan still, but
below Bryan. I mean,
but the thing is, like, I mean, he's close enough that I really wouldn't mind, like, if he kind of just keeps up this hard ass, I don't care, I'm gonna do this kind of attitude. I have no problem with him going out and winning.
Yeah, no. It's a tough match for Reigns to come out a babyface, you know, beating a significantly smaller man, you know, with, you know, clean in the middle of the ring and not come off like a bully. it's a tough match in that respect. If, you know, the idea is that for Reigns to still win, you know, not that Brian won't, you know, give him a great match, and, you know, Brian isn't good to look competitive against, you know, anyone pretty much, but there is the element of, you know, there's an element of, you know, can Reigns come out of this match, you know, still a babyface.
Right. Well, and I believe I have advocated this already, but I'm completely okay if he goes heel. Like, he got the Batista booze, and you know what? As soon as Batista started being a dick, he was hilarious on WWE TV.
Oh, yeah, because he was, well,
And I don't know if that will happen with Reigns, but Lesnar was starting to get cheered, Reigns was starting to get booed. Just have Lesnar get cheered and have Reigns get booed. Bam! Problem solved.
I kind of agree with that. Once again, I would not have a problem with Brian getting the match either. And Brian's probably the only guy who might get you know, close to 100% cheers against Brock Lesnar. So, but you know, yeah, if you want to go forward with Reigns, you know, go with the heel turn. you got a lot of baby faces.
Oh.
It's a strong babyface company right now. I think we covered that last week, you know.
Yeah.
Who does a babyface champion face coming out of WrestleMania? You know, whereas a heel champion who's defending it who's not Brock Lesnar, who's defending it every month, you've got matches with, you know, I wouldn't see them doing Cena versus Reigns until, you know, later, you know, SummerSlam, maybe even next year's WrestleMania. But,
right.
You know, you got go back to Bryan, you got Ambrose, Ziggler, you got plenty of guys. You could throw it at a heel champion.
Right. Especially if you want to start building them up, you can definitely throw one of those later guys in there. It is a build them up win if you want to keep the strap on them for a little bit.
Right.
It's still pretty interesting. Like I said, I'm just glad I thought, and I said this originally too, is that it was the execution at the Rumble that was the problem, and they're already trying to right the ship.
Yeah, and that is it. Well, I guess, I don't know, this is something we can broach a little bit, is kind of what Triple H was alluding to in his interview, in his podcast interview with Stone Cold, is they film live every week. They're not a TV show that has 20 episodes in the can, and if the season sucks, there's nothing they can do about it. and the audience rejects it.
Right.
They can change course. Whatever you want at the drop of a dime.
Yeah, and they certainly have done their fair share of adjusting. And after kind of a bad turn, at least in my opinion, they're starting to move things in the correct direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, maybe that Raw before the Rumble was probably a better show overall, but this was, definitely a better episode, a 3-hour episode of Raw than most of in the last 6 months or so.
Right. And I'm trying to think of what else. Just a funny comedy bit, honestly, or at least to me was a comedy bit that carried over from Raw and SmackDown was Curtis Axel pointing at the WrestleMania sign.
Yes, and yes, tonight the number one trend in the world, Axelmania. This might have legs now. I feel bad for Heath Slater that all those accusations that apparently were proven false, really hurt him, and they have not brought him back to TV, and now Curtis Axel might actually have the opportunity to become the new lovable loser.
I didn't think about him playing that type of a role. I've just been amused by it, but he really could play, because Axel has not been able to find himself a spot, and maybe Heath Slater was occupying it. I did not think of things that way.
It's not a bad spot. It's,
it's a job. It probably pays pretty well.
It pays pretty well. You're not being asked to do much. Have that, physical of matches. It's not a bad spot at all. Completely, on that mid-card treadmill.
Or in some kind of weird tag team with Ryback. Rybaxel.
I thought you were talking about your Kent State boy, the little guy.
I do always feel like that's a little strange for him to be in the little guy category. He's not one of the bigger guys. I will agree with you in that department. But I don't feel like he's a little guy either. Because I think he's like 230.
That's what his weight belt says.
Unsurprisingly had a good match with Bray Wyatt. And I do feel like that was Wyatt's, one of his better victories, honestly, because I was kind of amused by, you brought up the Melby Award winner, Wade Keller there, that they thought that Wyatt went over too strong on Ambrose. I heard that opinion was bandied about.
Rumored the reason why Wyatt was going on a tear, and now with every interview it's becoming more and more obvious who he's talking about. So
right,
see why Wyatt has been so protected.
Yeah, and I still didn't think that he was put over all that strong, just because it was kind of a messy feud, and maybe it was just the sheer fact that I tapped out. Because it was like some type of ridiculous, like a chair match, and then a TLC match, and then an ambulance match, and then a, Gravediggers match.
Right.
So, right, I think that maybe I just thought it was silly time.
Yeah, I mean, it was really the ambulance match win that was just so definitive. I mean, I can't tell you the last time, you know, I saw a babyface lose a match just that, not just cleanly, but just it was done. You know, Bray Wyatt was the better man. There was nothing, I mean.
Yeah, and you know what? It just hit me why I might not have had that opinion. That was the one Raw that, for whatever reason, my DVR either screwed up or... Yeah, because every channel except for USA was working. So it was a little hard for me to talk about Raw that week. So I guess maybe that's what concerned it, a match that I did not see.
Right.
So that might be my bad on that one. That is a pretty definitive ending if you get your ass handed to you in an ambulance match.
Yeah. So yeah, but hasn't hurt Ambrose any, and you know, once again, Bray Wyatt with every interview, obviously he's ready for the Undertaker. I just hope the Undertaker's ready for the match. I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, you know, I'll be there live. It'll probably be the last time unless I make it to next year's and he does that one too. It'll maybe be the last time I ever see him live. But I hope he comes out in better shape than he did last year. But I'm not sure about that.
Right, and I still didn't think that. For as much as that match has been talked about, it's more been talked about just because of the streak breaking. The match itself really was not all that fantastic.
No, it was. I'll come around and say it was boring. It was a pretty awful match. If Undertaker had won, it would have been. I mean, it would have been in Bundy territory, in Giant Gonzalez territory. It would have been one of, you know, after, you know, I think Undertaker had, going into that match, I mean, I think Undertaker had, something in the neighborhood of maybe a six, seven year streak of having the best match at WrestleMania that came to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I guess that was the other thing, is that some of those WrestleMania matches were not that good, but I guess when you get... your expectations that lofty, and you're thinking, oh, it's Brock Lesnar in there with him. Everything's going to be good. It's going to be a nice big man match. And the whole thing is just a clusterfuck.
Yeah, I mean, he physically wasn't ready for it. He hurt himself very early.
Yeah.
But I also see that a match with Bray Wyatt being not very long, you know, build up a man, you know, choke slam. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I was just like, come on, Taker can take this loss, can he? Or does he just go out like, yep, I won one last match and I'm out of this bitch?
Yeah, I don't think he's coming. I don't think he's coming back to lose at WrestleMania ever again. He did. Yeah, he's gonna do it. He probably should get some redemption.
Okie dokie. Well, I think that we can bring up. Is there one last common thread that we could talk about in the Raw SmackDown axis here? Since we have a little bit of extra time here that we could fill.
Me on the spot there. Let's see what common thread would be. Maybe the something along the lines of, has Seth Rollins taken over Daniel O'Brien's place as the best all around performer in the company? Just once again, just continuing just to be great.
I don't know. They certainly have something going for themselves. I would be completely okay to watch their match against each other So, I don't know, because I've liked Brian's reaction to Reigns also. Like, I thought that he was being a bit of a smarmy dick at first, and I would not be upset. Jeremy and I were tossing around this idea of Daniel Bryan shaving and going heel with the Bellas.
Both of them?
Nikki is bad, Brie is bad now. The Bellas are heel again. You were talking about the lack of heels. Like, if he shaved and completely changed his look, he could definitely have legs as a heel, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, he's been a great heel at various points in his career, both during his, 14, 15 month, however long it was, Ring of Honor title run, and then during his World Heavyweight title run, when he was being AJ's verbally abusive boyfriend. So yeah, he's, he'd be a great heel. I mean, I don't think that's where they're going to go, but
right.
It's interesting that you think that of the two, Brian's coming off more like more smug of the two. So that's kind of a,
well, to me,
I think it's kind of interesting.
He was being too nice. Like, on Monday, he made the same point as Stephanie, but he tried to make it sound like a positive, which I'm like, fuck you, dude. No, this isn't a positive. I think Reigns needs to, step up and just go, I'm going to whoop your ass, little man. Like, and that's completely fine by me.
I like how they're both. Yeah, I like how they're both playing it. I don't like how they're. And I definitely think that I'm going to enjoy their airplay over the next couple of weeks. I think it will make for some good TV as long as Reigns isn't overproduced and is allowed to act natural. I'm good TV.
So, you were talking about your main question was about Rollins being the top worker or the top.
I just pulled that out of my ass because you put me on the spot.
No. But I wanted to get back to Rollins though, because he did have another good match on SmackDown too. I do think that I don't know. To me, it's hard to tell in ring wise. To me, who I would prefer. I like both of them a lot. I do think that, what's his name? Rollins' mic work is a little bit better. But they also haven't really hung him out to dry, like, given Daniel Bryan, like, that opening segment when he was still injured for 15, 20 minutes or whatever it was. He's another one, kind of like Reigns, where he's not meant to really fill that much time. Give him 5-10 minutes and, let's keep on moving. Like, you don't need to be married to the 15 minutes opening segment, even if it's the top person. Give him 10 if you feel like they at least need that much exposure, and then tap out. Use 5 minutes for something else. Or a couple of something else's. So, I guess if I say they're tied in the ring and I give a slight edge to Rollins for, mic work, I guess there might be a slight edge to Rollins at this point. I think Daniel Bryan does a good job with his character. And I agree with you where I don't think they're going to change his character. But it was just kind of funny to me. Because once Reigns kind of called Brian out, because when Brian sat down in the locker room with Reigns, Reigns was just like, dude, really? Like, you're going to come in here? And Reigns is just like, no, I'm going to whoop your ass. And Brian's like, okay, game on. Like, he just kind of looked like, okay, I don't need to be nice anymore. and we can just fight this one out. So, I don't know. Maybe this evolution, whatever it ends up being with Daniel Bryan, because at some point he's going to get away from the authority, and I think that that will help give him more character, which might help his mic work, too.
The whole company needs to get away from the authority.
Yeah, and I, you know what? That's one thing that maybe I should bring up, and we'll run a little late. It was so funny to me to listen to Triple H. Like, I eventually tapped out of that Stone Cold podcast at, like, 12:15. I'm like, some of us have to work tomorrow morning. It's time to go to bed. But Triple H came off so much better on there than he does on screen. Like, I understand his role in that it kind of needs to be written that way, but it's just a role that I find unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like we kind of talked about with NXT, it was more about the wins and losses. You don't need to have an evil authority figure. I didn't see William Regal the entire show, nor I feel the need to.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He does not need to be on every week. It's just when something important needs to be said, he comes out and says it.
So
Triple H and Stephanie, they did not need that ego stroke that they got Monday of pulling out their mastermind plan and then playing, you know, Brian and Reigns for dummies. I mean, granted, they were thwarted by the end of the night because their plan was to get to have slip Rollins in there, but.
Right.
I mean, I didn't like how that was played at all. I mean, there was no reason for it to have to be Reigns' choice. You know, there's no real Royal Rumble bylaws book. You could have said that they could have said that they have the right to actually strip him of the title shot or make him put the title shot on the line.
Oh,
so that Reigns doesn't look like an idiot.
Yeah, there is that too. But I don't know. How did you feel like Triple H? Did you listen to the or watch the podcast after Raw there on Monday?
Yeah. I mean, I watched the whole thing. I mean, he was a masterful politician. I mean, he didn't break any new great ground, but he came off well. There's only a few points where he seemed in any way flustered. He came off better than Vince did. Absolutely. You can tell that he's, in comparison to his father-in-law, way more in control, way more composed. Not prone to, you know, saying the first thing that comes to his mind, no matter what it is.
Well, and even Vince fell for the feather ruffling a couple of times. And, I felt like Triple H kind of believed whatever he was saying, to be honest with you. But if not, he knew how to deflect the question to just say, I mean, and it was kind of interesting. Like, I was happy that he mentioned, he's just like, no, there are just some fans that know everything that's going on. Like,
yeah, I mean, that started the interview on a good note. I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is the problem right now. What are we doing? What are you going to do about it?
You know, because that's one of those things that I felt like there was still some derision about the whole subject, but for him to come out and say, you know what, they're just fans that are that passionate about it, to me was a nice little nod to some of those people that he's probably put the boots to more times than necessary.
Right, agreed.
So, you know, since we're those people, at least to me, that was somewhat nice to hear.
Hey, you know, speak for yourself. I don't identify myself as part of the internet wrestling community.
Well, I'm on the internet and I talk about wrestling, and I happen to do it at Stunt Granny. I also occasionally do it on at DeFrango 11. And sometimes the stuff that I do for at Stunt Granny on DeFrango 11's page is about hashtag Sippy Time Beers. So hopefully I will have my column done tomorrow. I do not have much hope because I think I have like 8 beers to go. But,
8 beers.
Yeah,
it's going to be painstaking for you to go through all of them, suffering for our readers' enjoyment, of course.
They were already drunk last Saturday at the Columbus Winter Beer Fest, so it's just a matter of writing them up. I'm trying to save my liver a little bit this year for other purposes. I don't know. That's my out. That was my way to get us out of here. So if you really want to wrap it up, have at it, my man.
All right. We will catch you next time. All right. Later.